Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And a good Saturday morning to you. And if I sound a little squeaky, that's because old Mr. Laryngitis paid me a visit this week. It is improving, but not quite there yet. This has happened a few times over the years on Saturday mornings, and we will get through it. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, I got to tell you, I had a busy bird hunting holiday week. We started off on the holiday Monday with a rookie a German Shorthair pointer named Betsy, and it all clicked for her, and what a reward that was to see her point and retrieve her first quail. We also had some young hunter journalists along with us, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Then later on, we made a woodcock hunt later in the week over at Shady Pines in St. Martin Parish with Timmy Trahan, Dean Galatis, and Johnny Bankston and our dogs. That turned out very well, too. If you're not a woodcock hunter, and most of you are not, I tell you what, if you ever get the opportunity to go, maybe not a more challenging target than a woodcock in the thick, swampy woods. If you love the CCA Star Rodeo, and I know a lot of you do, catching those or trying to catch those tagged redfish for boats and trucks and big prizes, well, you're going to also like Bass Cash Bash. The director, P.J. Vincent, is going to join us a little bit later on and tell you how, for a minimal amount of investment, you might have the opportunity to catch a bass with a tag. That's very valuable. Today, we're having the very popular Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Minimalist Challenge Fishing Rodeo. Brendan Bayard is in the middle of it. He's our field reporter, and he'll be telling us all about what baits they'll be using and what they're limited to. And if you have ever heard or saw a real live Bigfoot, a.k.a. Sasquatch, a.k.a. Yeti, well, one Mississippi woman said she may have, and she recorded a chilling nighttime cry. You'll get to hear it for yourself, and you be the judge. Also got those live area fishing reports. Some pretty good white perch, freshwater action really starting to pick up. And we've got, as always, bad boys of the outdoors. This time, two men admitted to showing a real blatant disregard for federal and state duck hunting regulations, and they are our coveted bad boys of the outdoors. Also, we've got a Cajun Fishing Adventures Harem Shooting Team going to be participating at the end of next month in the Gunning for a Cure at Stella Plantation down in Lower Plaquemines Parish. Ryan Lambert is the coach, and we are going to announce the team members. They've been selected, and you'll get a chance to meet them if you show up out there. Your reports, your comments, your questions, all welcome on our live text board. You do that at 504-260-1870. And if you've got any remedies for laryngitis, I might be able to use them. Text them to me, 504-260-1870. All right, taking a look at your weather forecast. This is the latest from the National Weather Service. You're looking at about 20% chance of rain today. That, depending on where you are, it's moving from the central part of the lower Louisiana coast across the Gulf over to the Mobile area. And it looks like it's going to be out of here sometime later this afternoon. And it's going to leave us with some east winds, 15 to 20 offshore. East winds about 10 knots on the interior lakes and bays. There will be a light chop there. Tomorrow, much better. No rain. Southeast winds, 10 to 15 offshore. Maybe 1 to 2 if you're going out there to try to get some early tuna fishing in. And in the interior lakes and bays, a southeast wind, 5 to 10. Doesn't get any better than that this time of the year, which is a light chop. Your average tide range, 1.3, so there's some water rocking and rolling. Mississippi River, 7.3 and falling. That's a big change from last weekend. So we got lots to talk about this morning. Stick with us. We got 2 hours of what you and I love to talk about each and every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, it looks like the eastern tip of Louisiana's got a little bit of green on it on the radar, which means light rain, and it's going to be moving out of here pretty soon. Let's talk to Robbie Campo. He is at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie, if you can kind of set the stage for us, what are you looking out there conditions-wise at the moment?
Well, we got rain, Don. It's a drizzle, you know, but we do have rain. It rained all the way down from Miro all the way down here, so the stage is set to be wet from Jump Street. So, you know, we got an east wind blowing. It's an east northeast wind blowing, a small one, probably maybe 10 mile an hour or so. But I think if this blows out of here, some people are going to go out fish this morning. So, to set the stage for the week, for what happened this past week. We had a few good days. There was some trout did bite, but that was a live shrimp occasion. And we had a boat up on dry dock this week, so we didn't have much live bait. We got the boat back over, went back out yesterday. When the rain stopped yesterday, the couple thousand that my brother caught yesterday, the people came out on Friday evening and bought them all up. So if you're coming to fish this morning and you want live bait, make some phone calls. I think Bait Incorporated might have some this morning. Maybe Hopedale Marina might have some. I'm not sure. Just make some phone calls if you're looking for live shrimp. Now, they did catch some trout this week, Don, up the ship channel from the marina. They caught some up in the Biloxi Marsh in the Stump Lagoon area, and they caught some over in the Lake Robin area, back up. Lake Robin and Hopedale Lagoon, Amity, you know, those spots, they did catch some trout back there this week. But most of my people that fished this week wanted to go do the sheephead runs down by the Long Rocks. And they just tore them up down there. They caught plenty of sheephead down there. And basically all you need is a jig head with some dead shrimp and go out there. You could fill the boat up if you want. Another thing that people did this past week, if you could get to the rigs in the lake, which you're not, I don't believe that's going to be doable today, but if you could get to the rigs in the lake, those big freshwater catfish are hanging around those rigs in the lake, and it's been, oh, man, they anywhere from 15 pounds to 30 pounds. So if you go out there and you want to, if you could get there to do it, plenty of that action going on. I think this is the last weekend for duck hunting. Not a whole lot of birds up in the Biloxi Marsh. That's been kind of poor. Hopefully that they kill some today with it raining, you know, make them fly a little bit. It's been really tough. Been a tough duck season. I'm not really sure. I got my ideas of what's going on with ducks, but that's a story for another time.
Yes, it is.
I think they've been held up in the Midwest. But like I said, that's a story for another time. Maybe they might kill some this morning with this, you know, because they got the perfect conditions for it. If to my lady fishermen, if you're coming down here today, wear long pants, because when this rain stops, the gnats are coming out. They were out yesterday. It's gnat season. So, we got the perfect recipe for this, Don. It's 60, 65 degree weather with some overcast. This is perfect gnat weather. Don't come out here in short pants, because as soon as it gets 60 degrees, all these girls want to put short pants on. It's not a good idea to go fishing with like that down here this time of the year. The gnats like to carry us away yesterday. And I think we're going to probably wind up with the same thing today. If the wind calms down, anyway. They were so bad yesterday, you couldn't hardly walk out the door of the office. It was unreal. So just a little side note, keep that in your mind, that it is gnat season. Not much redfish were caught this week. Everybody's been asking about where the reds are, Man, red fishing was tough. The best thing I could tell you to do if you wanted to catch redfish, water being down like it has been, fish your main canals, your little chernasses that's dumping out of your main canals, wherever you like to go. If it be behind Delacro or over here in the Biloxi Marsh, that seemed to be working the best, fishing like Crooked Bayou or going to Lake Eugene. fishing the little fallouts of all off a Crooked Bayou there, or some little drains that come out of there, dump some ponds. That seems to be what was working the best at catching redfish. Redfish has been really, really sketchy this past week on, you know, and when I got a redfish tournament here today, so the Cajun Outcast Fishing Club got their little redfish tournament, and you know, and it's not a really good day to be going out with the rain, but they have it, and they're gonna do it anyway. So, but red fishing's been tough. But hey, if today's your day to fish, and you want to fish, hook the left at the bridge and come on down to see us, and we're gonna get you in the water, get you going, and get you fishing.
Well, you've given them a lot of options, some trout, some sheephead, some maybe some redfish, catfish. Those freshwater cats sounds good if you can get to them. Robbie, did want to talk a minute about the bayou cleanup that's going to be headquartered at your marina on Saturday, February 13th. Kerry Kale, who is a really active government representative in St. Bernard, is kind of working with Jimmy Corley on this. Tell us about that, about cleaning up the bayou. Where is this going to be, and what do they need to do to get signed up? Because they got some free crawfish, you have to understand.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Don, I was brought into this thing this week. You come and asked me, approached me about it. Jimmy did and said, if we could put this on. And I said, yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to have is we're looking for volunteers. We can't get trustees because of the COVID deal. So they can't let the trustees out, because, you know, because usually we'll get with Sheriff Pullman, get some trustees to come out here and pick up the trash. So we're going to do this with volunteers. We're looking for volunteers. You don't have to have a boat. We got boats, but if you got a boat, bring a boat. So we're going to pick up all, and this is all storm debris basically that's on the other side of the bayou. So it's it's a lot of water bottles and cans, and just fill up garbage bags. We're going to have the dumpsters here from Sydney Torres is going to bring the dumpsters. So, we're gonna try to clean up the bayou edge, just clean up some of this garbage that drifted over here from everybody's garbage can that flipped over from Zeta. So this is back. We're going back a couple months, but the debris is still here and it has to be cleaned up, Don. It just looks terrible, and the only way to do it is to get there and do it. You know what I mean? It's not going to magically disappear. We got to just go pick it up. And, you know, we don't want our waterways to look, all polluted with bottles and, you know, what have you, and ice bags and, you know, plastics and, you know, so forth and so on. So we're going to have this cleanup on February 13th. And, I think we're going to have a lot of people coming to help out with it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe today's catch is gonna put on a little something afterwards for the people. I don't know what time it's gonna start, but as it gets closer, I'll get more information on it, and I'll let the people know.
Yeah, Robin, maybe ask what they'll need to bring in terms of gloves and maybe tarps to put on the boat, because that's a lot of nasty, muddy stuff coming up there, and you want to keep your boat, you know, protected, and give them some suggestions on that, and maybe where designated areas will be where they're going to go do that. And, you know, February's the time to do it. Usually got the lowest tides of the year, and the most junk and garbage will be exposed for pickup. So keep us informed. Absolutely. On that as we get closer to it, Rob.
Yep, sure will. Sure will, Don. Sure will. All right,
okay,
well.
Okay, my man.
Okay, buddy, talk to you next Saturday.
Yes, sir. Robbie Campo, right. Down at Campo's Marina. Mark that on your calendar, February 13th, Saturday. That's going to be meeting there at 9 a.m. And spend a little time cleaning up the bayou. And it's nobody's fault that all that got there. I mean, that's storm damage and debris, and it definitely needs to be cleaned up. All right, back with more of the Outdoor Show. Got some text messages rolling in at 504-260-1878. Back with more of the Outdoor Show right after this timeout. And the Bass Fishing Report with Jeff Brule is brought to you by Berkley, a division of Pure Fishing, expanding their lineup of frog baits with the addition of three new ones, including two new soft baits that are infused with that scientifically proven fish-catching power bait formula. Those would be the beaten paddle frog, and the buzzing speed toad. And a unique bait, the Berkeley Power Pop, a super high flotation frog. Look for them at your favorite dealer, Berkeley, a division of Pure Fishing. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, it was certainly good to see that you got a little bit of rust off and you hadn't lost your quail shooting skills last week. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And probably need to go plant a few more pine trees up there. I think I killed a few of them, too. But it's challenging, yeah. You know, and those quail are dipping and darting and going through those trees. It's hard to focus on anything but that bird, but just every once in a while you get a tree in the way. But, yeah, it was fun. I hadn't done it in a year or two, and something I did growing up, and I really enjoyed that. And love to see your dog, Smokey. She did great, and I just love to see how they just focus on that one thing when they're out there. They're just hunting, nose to the ground, running around. And when they point, it's just a pretty thing to watch.
Well, we went back there again this week and brought a couple of young Dean LeCocq, cameraman Chris LeCocq's young son, who says he wants to be an outdoor photographer. And my nephew, Drew, the big guy outdoors in Dubuque, came along. And, well, we had a ball. And I had Betsy, which is Drew's dog. And for the first time, she put it all together. And I tell you what, it's really nice to see when a dog has been doing a little bit of field work and all of a sudden it clicks. You know, oh, if I stand here and smell this bird and point, they're going to walk up and shoot it. I can go grab it and bring it back. And we had a lot of fun doing it. So just really good sport. Just don't get to do it enough. Got so many things going on. Well, tell us about the fishing, especially the Sockeye. I'm starting to get a lot of reports from some different areas on that, and as well as the bass fishing.
Yeah, it's slowly starting to come into light. We've had these cold weather days, and it just makes it tough. Anytime the water's cold, it makes it tough. But, you know, next couple weeks, it's going to start really turning on. So I went to the Chef with Mike Gallo and Todd Masson. We did a little video for Todd, and we caught a bunch of bass down in the Chef area. Now, most of them are like 10 to 12 inches, but it kind of tells me that the spawn's a few more weeks away. We caught one or two nice fish, but nothing great big. Water temperature is about 52 everywhere, and you need that 58, 60 degree to really get the spawn rolling. We're just using a quarter-ounce jig head with either a Berkeley Pro Grub or a Matrix Shad on the back, and most of the bites just came kind of bouncing down the middle of the canal. So you'd either be resting on the bottom or you'd hop it, and as it's falling back, all of a sudden you see your line start swimming off real slow. Just typical winter bite. The Chipuncta in the North Shore, the Pearl River, they caught up some 12, 13-pound stringers, so that's good news. Only bad news on the Pearl is it's around 10 feet now, but next week with all these rainstorms, it's going to go back up. But last week, they were faced with really low water. They said that sometimes it's 10, 12 feet of mud between the bank and the river channel. So a lot of guys said it was lowest they've ever seen it. But when it gets like that, you just target any kind of cover you find in the water, because usually the first place those fish go when they have to pull out is some kind of visible cover. The Texas rigs and spinnerbaits, those are good choices when the river's low.
Jeff, pond fishing right now. Is ponds worth a visit to try there now for the bass?
Yeah, that's usually the first place because they're smaller bodies of water and they're usually surrounded by just land and grass and not a lot of wind gets to them. They usually warm up quicker. So, yeah, this is time of year. We got a full moon coming up in a week or so, and I've got a few pond reports, nothing great, a few Sockeye ponds are producing. So, yeah, if you can hit a couple of those this weekend, even after this weather clears up, you should do okay. Another area, the basin in Venice, the basin's around 3 feet on the Morgan City gauge. The bite was very good. Phillip Elkwine and Casey St. Romain, they brought an 1852 in the Fisher Men Tournament last weekend. So a lot of 15, 16-pound, 17-pound stringers in that tournament. So I just tell you that when the water comes down, they're catching fish over there. It's all about conditions. But the next couple of weeks, the river's falling. Like you said, the Mississippi River's, 7 feet? It's going to fall down to 5, and that's going to help the basin get down to a good level this next couple of months, and they should catch fish. Venice reports are slow just because the river's been high, but once it gets back down, it should be good. But just a reminder, when you get on the Mississippi, to wear a life jacket this time of year. The water temps on the Mississippi are coming from up north, and they can be extremely low this time of year. So, and they're dangerous. You hit the water, you you'd have a life jacket on, and you might not even make it out of the water. So just be cautious when you get down there. But the reports are good. It's going to get better even as the weather warms up the next couple of weeks, and looking to be a good spring.
Sounds good. Jeff, anything else before you go? How about some freshwater catfish? Boy, Robbie came up with some really huge catfish. Some guys are finding out the Lake Bourne rigs, but maybe a little difficult to get there. But for some good old blue cats or channel cats, where would you might suggest and what would you fish them with?
Same thing with the bass. Just find the deep holes and throw some shrimp on the bottom. I've seen some buddies of mine that went bass fishing, and they just fishing jigs and stuff like that on bouncing on the bottom. And I've seen some 20, 30-pound catfish pictures that they've caught while they're just fishing for bass, and some of them fishing for reds and trout too. But anything, you know, smelly bait on the bottom, and the white perch are slowly starting to turn on. I've seen some good reports on the chifuncta, but they're deep. Everything's deep, like Kalita Bend, chifuncta. They're all 12, 15, 18 foot deep. So unless you got good graphics or you know where some tops are, they get kind of tough to fish when they like that. I prefer just to see the carp go down. I like it when they get up shallow on the trees. That's my fun time.
I'm with you. Jeff, thanks for the report. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, give them dogs an extra scoop of food because they did a great job. Thanks,
Don. They earned it. They did earn it. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's quite a cook, too. I think he smoked those quail. Boy, she'll look good. All right, we come back after this. I got some text messages to check on for you. Got some questions and some comments. I need some of these cures for laryngitis. You got a good home remedy? I could sure use it. We'll be right back in 3 minutes on the Outdoor Radio Network. Yeah, not much time left to the Louisiana duck season, and it has been a rough one. Started off pretty good, and then, boy, just simply went downhill from there. I've been checking the wildlife and fisheries surveys, and hunters are coming up with empty bags, a lot of people not even bothering to go. I would like to direct you to a column that was written by a fellow outdoor writer friend of mine, John Flores. John writes for the St. Mary Parish newspaper, and you can read his column at stmarynow.com. And the title is Louisiana Waterfowl Hunters Should Be Ready for Changes. And he summed up the crisis, and I have called it a crisis in Louisiana with regard to waterfowl hunting. And he summed up the problem pretty well. He didn't get into all of the causes, and there are a lot of reasons for it, which we will probably address on future shows, but at least he's got a pretty good handle on it. And, you know, it's just hard to believe, having hunted ducks in Louisiana for about 50 years, to see how where it's gone to what it is now, and that the future for a Louisiana duck hunter is like somebody that wants to hunt elk or mule deer. They're not going to be here, so you got to travel out of state to do that. And that is sad, but I think it's very true. But read John's column if you get a chance. All right, we're going to read some text messages when we come back. But first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And if you're just tuning in and wondering why I'm sounding like I am, there's nothing wrong with your radio or your listening device. I got a little case of laryngitis, but I've had it before. I'll get it again, and we'll get through this show and sound better next week. Also, on our text board, we're looking for any home remedies. If you have a good one that you've got, text it to me at 504-260-1870. And we got a lot of texts coming in this morning. We got an early text in from our friend, the Lafayette Yacker. He's over there at the, and we're going to hear from Brendan Bayard shortly, for the Minimus Challenge, the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club out of Golden Meadow. He said he's got cold coffee and soggy biscuits because they did get some rain. Hopefully that rain is going to move out of there in just a little while and get you some better conditions for getting out there for that kayak tournament. Justin, our refuge watcher, he saw a flock of ibis. He said, "Where you guys been?" And they waved at him. Yeah, that's what he's a ibis whisperer, I think. And here's a remedy for the laryngitis. You might want to try Irish whiskey or Cajun moonshine. It'll either cure you or at least you'll feel a lot better. Get better soon, my friend. Great show. That's from the Irish Coonass. Here's a question. Could you please explain? I am on private land, want to hunt hogs at night. Some people tell me I can start when is the right time. Do I need to call the police department before I start hunting at night? They were exactly right. You can hunt at night with artificial lights, use the infrared laser, night vision scopes. But a couple things you need to keep in mind. If you're on private property and you're not the landowner, you need written permission, maybe if you're a club member, or just get the landowner to give you his contact information. You got to have that in your possession and basically saying you've got the permission to hunt there. Then, very important step, you need to make a phone call to the sheriff's office in whatever parish you're hunting in and let them know when you will be there to hunt those hogs. And you got to do it within 24 hours of when you're going to hunt, just to let them know if somebody reports gunshots or the officers hear gunshots in the dark, they will know that you're there and you're legally hunting hogs. Other than that, have at them. No limit, no size, and I can't encourage you to take more of them because they need to go. All right, we'll be back with more of these text messages right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting back to our text message board. Let's see, we have, good morning. I love when I'm able to listen to the show. What's the latest on the wahoo bite out of Venice? Any suggestions or tips that may help us boat our first ever wahoo? We have the boat and the gear, just not sure where to go for our best chance. Thanks. Well, I've got Darryl Carpenter, who is now inshore fishing, but did his share of offshore fishing and has caught wahoo. And I'm going to say for this time of the year, maybe it's a little early, but I have caught wahoo in January and some really nice big ones in the 90-pound range. Of course, most of it takes place off the coast of Venice. There is some a little further to the west, but for the most part, you want to get out there, out the mouth of the river, and troll those baits. The mud lump is probably a very popular place in the springtime. It's an underwater mountain, basically. It's called the Sackett Banks, if you're looking for it on a map. And tuna and wahoo stack up along the edges of that rise in the surface, and there's a lot of activity out there. There's going to be a lot of commercial boats. There's going to be a lot of recreational boats. As far as the method, by far, trolling is the number one way you're going to catch wahoo. And, you know, you put out three, maybe four lines, pull those Magnum Rapalas, those Halco Tremblers, chartreuse, pink colors are the best, also some purples. And make sure you got some sturdy hooks. And the wahoo, when you hit it, it makes a long run, a straight run, and then the fight back in. They're not like a tuna. They're not going to fight as hard as a tuna. But because of their size and their speed, I tell you what, they can make those reels really sing. As far as eating, a lot of people, that's their favorite offshore fish. I'm a fan of grilled wahoo. You get a lot of meat per pound on the fish. Check the regulations book. There are some size and creel limits on wahoo. But it's a fantastic fish. It's a hard-fighting fish. And when we get Darryl's on, Darryl's going to be on in just about 5 minutes, and we'll get him to give you some wahoo advice for this time of the year. And glad you're getting into the sport. You're going to love it, believe me. All right, here's some more suggestions for my laryngitis. Hotty toddy, lemon, hot honey, hot tea, and whiskey. Whew. I tell you what, all these whiskey suggestions, I don't think I'd make it through the show. Here's a lemonade water and a shot of whiskey. And here's one asking to please try Ricola Cool Relief Lozenges or Vicks Vapor Cool Lozenges. I miss your Friday show on WWL. Thanks for that. I will try that. I've had a bunch of those things, those you know, different. I think the latest one I had some benzocaine in it or something. But, you know, it just takes time and probably relaxing it, which is the worst thing. But, you know, laryngitis is not a good thing for a radio guy to get, that's for sure. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute with Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. He gives us a Grand Isle area report, Golden Meadow, Leeville, and also some offshore fishing tips. We'll be back with him right after this time out. You are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And joining us is Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. And, Darryl, a lot of folks are waiting to get your report as they're on now for the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Minimalist Challenge, a kayak tournament headquartered out of the Golden Meadow area, so we'll get that. But did have a caller that wanted to know about fishing wahoo this time of the year, looking for some advice on best places to go and maybe some tips. What can you tell them? Because you've done your share of wahoo bait pulling over the years.
Yeah, Don, I mean, I haven't personally been offshore in a while, but you know, there's several things to look for when it comes to the wild hoop fishing. Once you get a little bit of water under you, you know, you get around that 200-foot mark, start looking for any kind of little rip lines or anything like that, any current lines or anything that's forming where you've got clean on dirty water is a good place to start. Start pulling your baits there, either that and or, you know, you look for the ledges. Anything that's got any kind of structure on it, whether it be something around the midnight lump, whether it be all the rigs around the lump, but the lump itself, if you head a little further to the west, you've got Duffy's Bank and all over there, which is structure. You know, you've got to have, unless you're just going to spend time pulling open water, you've got to have some type of an attractant to help congregate them, whether that be a platform, whether it be bottom structure, something that aggravates the current, you know, rip lines or anything like that. But that's where you would start pulling your baits. And look, who can figure out fish some days? You know, we've seen it where you pull it east to west all day long and you don't get a bite, and you turn around, you pull back west to east. Something as simple as the direction you're pulling will make those fish bite. It's just, you know, you got to spend the time on the water and you know, look for the structure. It's the structure. They're there to eat. So if it's holding bait, it's the whole predator fish.
Darryl, as far as when you're going out looking for tuna, you can visually spot them. You know, they'll be jumping, there'll be birds over them. How about wahoo? It's always good to have a pair of binoculars with you on the offshore boat so you can kind of look on the horizon and see what's happening. But wahoo aren't quite as surface active as tuna, are they? Or can you find them?
No, not nearly. They're not nearly as – they don't skyrocket like your tuna do. So it's more of just putting your time in. Like I said, look for bait, anything that's congregating bait. Even the last wahoo I caught last year during the lump season that I caught personally, you know, it was on a rip line. We had some mechanical issues and decided to pull baits all the way in and crossing a rip line, sure enough, bam, bam, couple of wahoo back to back. And look, when I say a rip line, this was nothing but a current line. It was wintertime. You know, nothing but a current line. There wasn't any grass or anything on it, but it was a definite current line with a color change, and it was holding bait. And as soon as we hit within 50 yards of that current line, we started seeing wahoo. And when I say seeing them, you could see them flash in the water as they ran to the baits. And that's something just as exciting as seeing tuna go skyrocketing as watching those wahoo when they're near the surface, watching them scream through your bait, and you can just pick the rods going off as you see them go through.
Yeah, they sure named that fish right, the wahoo for sure. Well, let's move inside because we got a lot of people that are going to be down in your area fishing out of kayaks. So some areas close to the launches. What can you suggest for picking up some fish down there?
Oh, Don, we hit the trifecta this week. I mean, our tides came back and they flipped on us. So we got incoming tides all day, which is bringing warm water. The water hit 60 degrees. You know, it's clean. My God, it looked like an aquarium out there this week. I couldn't believe after the weather we've had that the water was so crystal clear and clean. And the water hit 60 degrees. That brought the trout out. The trout came to life. You know, our redfish kind of slacked off a little bit because they got out of those deep holes that we've been fishing because we had some water. But, man, the trout over the oyster reefs. I mean, we concentrated on that Hackberry Bay, the you know, Saturday Island area, the Bay Rambo area. But we just drifting over oyster reefs and started off a lot of, you know, earlier in the morning, a lot of our bites were coming on the bottom. Look, we had live bait. We had cockahoes and stuff. The fish would not touch the cockahoes. But if you threw anything that was natural, mullet colored, anything like that, with a little bit of a chartreuse tail, they were slamming it. And look, it was this week was kind of reminiscent of some of the springtime bite. I mean, there's a couple of spots that as soon as you got a bite, you drop the anchor and bam, 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 for 20 minutes, it was a free for all. So the trout are coming. We've got great conditions. We got bad weather this weekend, but it's supposed to clear up all week and get into the 70s. So I think that's going to continue. You're going to start seeing some really good trout catches coming out of Grand Isle. And look, these weren't throw. I think we had two throwbacks all day. These were 16, 18-inch fish.
Well, I sure hope that's a sign of things to come for the spring. And, you know, sometimes that's all it takes is a little bit of warm-up and those trout move in over those shells. And when you got clean water and bait in the water and a little tide movement, it's a given. You're going to hit it.
Hell, I wish I could do lottery tickets on that, because let me tell you, I'm telling you, the stars and the moon aligned. It was, everything was perfect. I mean, I couldn't believe how clear the water was. And like I said, just that little bit of temperature difference. We went from water being in the low 50s to water being in the low 60s, and all of a sudden, bam, I mean, those trout, it was like somebody gave them a B12 shot.
Darryl, we got a full moon coming up on Thursday. What are your thoughts on fishing before and after a full moon?
Well, there's your wahoo bite. Okay, so there's your wahoo bite. Always a couple of days before and a couple of days after the moon. That's your best time to hit those. They seem to be really, really big moon, you know, influenced by the moon. Personally, when I'm trout fishing, I hate a full moon. I just don't like it. I find that the bite is later in the day. And that coincides with everything else we're going to have this week. You're going to have warmer days, warmer afternoons. You're going to have the full moon. I still think we hadn't been leaving the dock before 8-9 o'clock in the morning. I still think even though this week we're going to have some perfect conditions, especially with that moon influence, I would say make it a later bite, catch that good warm water. As long as it stays clean, you ought to be able to find you some trout.
I'm with you on that. Darryl, they can find you on my homepage and realscreamers.com. Give them the telephone number there if they want to give you a call and try to get in on one of those perfect days.
Yes, sir. They can always reach us at 225-937-6288.
All right. Really appreciate the tips, Darryl. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
Wait for that front to come through, Don, and rest that throat.
Yeah, after this I will. All right, we got another hour of outdoors coming up. Let's see what we're going to be talking about. Oh, we got some bad boy duck hunters, and we've got Bigfoot. When we come back after the break, you're going to hear what Kathy Glasgow says may or may not been the Sasquatch. Also, more fishing reports, minimalist challenge, and tell you all about Bash Cash Bash. All coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. In case you have no idea what that was, no, that was not me gargling trying to take care of my laryngitis voice. That was a recording that Kathy Glasgow, living in Brookhaven, Mississippi, about 8 years ago, got up one morning, 3 a.m., to walk the dogs. And when she went out there, that is what she heard. It was coming from about, her barn is 200 yards into the woods, and probably this was another 100 yards, so it was probably 300 to 400 yards away. You can hear crickets and frogs, and you hear dogs barking. Now, that was not her dogs. Her dogs went out on the porch, they heard the sound, and immediately ran back inside. Her neighbor's dog continued to bark as whatever this creature was continued to make its sounds. Eventually, it went off. And she's had several people listen to it. I talked to this lady, and you can usually tell she has nothing to gain. She's not trying to get any money out of this. She just wanted people to hear it. And she informed me that in that same area, some group had done a Bigfoot search to no avail. Of course, we've never found them. I'm thinking cougar is the closest thing. They've got a wide range of, I think they make 28 different sounds, but none quite like this that I've heard. So I'm going to let you listen to it one more time. Our engineer, Doug Christian, did his best to kind of tweak it and get the sound up. But you'll hear dogs barking, crickets and frogs. But in the background, you hear that low, kind of a growling sound. So there you have it. Is it a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti? What do you think? Text me 504-260-1870. Have you ever heard anything like that in the woods? And when we come back, we'll talk to Born on the Bayou's Captain Mike Gallo. Get a fishing report on the Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Biloxi Marsh area. It's up next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's go fishing with Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Captain Mike, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Don, I'm doing fine. My voice sounds fair to me anyway, but you sound a little rough.
Yeah, it's the old laryngitis act coming in. It's about the third day. Probably be out of here by tomorrow. You know, I usually get this every couple years, and you know, you can't do anything about it other than try to rest it and wait for it to go. I mean, there's some remedies. I mean, it's not painful. I don't feel bad at all. It's just I'm kind of squeaky. So I'm going to let you do some talking. What's going on over by your area?
Well, I got a full range of reports for you today. First off, early in the week, I made my way over to Double D Meats and picked up my venison sausage. Man, is that good. I couldn't wait for it to get here, and it finally showed up. I tried something new. I tried the jalapeno cheese smoked sausage. Man, really, really good. I'm already looking forward to next deer season and getting some more venison. Anyway, we have had some warmer temperatures throughout the week, and that brought the water temperatures up. Starting to see a few speckled trout being caught. Some speckled trout were caught still in deep water over in Gohegan's Canal, and in some of the Venetian Isle and Lakeshore. I haven't heard of anything in Eden Isles, but the Lakeshore Canals and Gohegan's produced the best numbers of speckled trout. It wasn't many, maybe 8 to 12, but we have started to see them show up a little bit with the warmer water temperatures. The bass have still been very consistent up and down the intercoastal waterway, in the drains, and some of the deeper bayous that cross the intercoastal waterway. Just fish along the grass beds. You can see the grass along the shoreline and just fish right along the edge of the grass. Spinner baits, a variety of plastics. We caught some midweek with Todd Messaw and Jeff Brule. We fished from the chef on down towards the wall area. And we did the same thing, concentrated on areas where there was some grass along the shoreline. And Jeff threw a spinner quite a bit. I threw a matrix on a light jig head, an eighth-ounce jig head. And I think Todd was throwing a matrix as well. And caught quite a few. I think between the three of us, we probably caught over 35 or so. So still lots of bass out. Captain Drake was out yesterday, and he fished same area up and down the intercoastal waterway. He was a little bit more patient. He fished later in the day after the rain had stopped. But he ended up with a mix of redfish and bass. So we are seeing a little more activity with the warmer water temperatures, and it looks like it's going to be warm at least into middle of next week. So we should see an increase in the production in this local area as far as putting fish in the box.
Mike, talk to anyone who fished the bridges, Twin Span, Highway 11.
I haven't heard much about the bridges at all. It seems that the cold chased the fish into the deeper waters, and the bridges just haven't been producing much. And I think that's, you know, where people are finding them, in the deeper waters. And as far as I know, the bridges aren't getting much activity.
And what about those freshwater catfish? Did you encounter any of those? Robbie was talking about some huge catfish caught in Lake Bourne area.
I did hear of some catfish being caught in some of the deeper channels. Captain Claude had a couple of trips last week, and he caught some in, I believe it was Unknown Pass, as well as the Intercoastal Waterway. There's a deep hole right where Unknown Pass and the Intercoastal intersect. There's 35 feet of water right there. I think he was in those types of areas, but he had two different trips, about a dozen each trip, and he's fishing shrimp on the bottom, either live or dead shrimp.
Got it. Your next trip, is it going to be for trout or mixed bag, reds, bass, and trout?
I'm going to head out Monday, and I'll try for trout first thing in the morning, and we'll see how it goes from there. I can pretty easily fall back on bass because I know they're very plentiful. We made three stops with Todd and Jeff and had 10 to 12 fish at each stop. And if we'd have made more stops, I'm sure we'd have just continued to catch them. They're very plentiful.
Very good, very good. Anything else before you go, Mike?
Well, take care of your voice, and I'll take it from here. Give us that number, Captain Mike. You can reach me at 985-781-7811. We're on social media. I'm on Don's website, or you can find me on my website, which is aaofla.com.
Well, since you did so well on that, can you do the CETO membership plug for me? Because
sure
I know
can.
You're a member, and you know all about it.
That's right. I sure can. Captain Mike's fishing forecast is brought to you by CETO. For peace on the water and peace of mind, get a CETO membership. Call Christian or log on to CETO.com.
Wow. I may get you to come sit in next time I got laryngitis. You do good work, my friend. You can do more than just fish.
I've been listening to you for many
years. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Thankfully that you have. Have a good one, Captain Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Don. Take care of that voice.
I will do it. There he goes, back into the bayou, Captain Mike Gallo. Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. He's been doing some additions over there. Really got the place looking nice. You need to stop by Salt Bayou and take a look at it. All right, coming back after this, it's time for our Paddler's Report. Brendan Bayard, our field reporter, is on the scene. He's participating in the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Minimalist Challenge. You want to know what that's all about? Stick around. He'll be back to tell you right after this. And it's time for the report for people who like to go stroking or pedaling kayaks for their fish. The Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club presents it along with Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in mid-city of New Orleans, Covington, Baton Rouge. Got kayaks, some of the best fishing models from brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft, and tons of accessories, everything for the paddler. Visit their website, MasseyOutfitters.com. Also have a very interesting, informative Facebook page. And joining us now is one of our field reporters, Brendan Bayard. He is in the middle of the Minimalist Challenge. He's a contestant, and he's reporting on it. He's a multitasker for sure. Brendan, I've been keeping my fingers crossed watching the radar. It looks like that rain has shifted to the east and going to give you guys a pretty decent day for the challenge.
Yeah, I think once this rain gets out here, we'll have a nice little break. It's certainly not the most pleasant unloading the kayaks right now. We got a pretty stiff east wind. We have three launches to choose from, the public launch down at Leeville at the end of the road, the Topwater Marina area, and then the public launch at Golden Meadow. And I've chosen the Golden Meadow launch. It just seems with the wind set up right now and then all the rain that's been going on all night with mixing with that low water down in Leeville, I think this will give me the best opportunity for some clean water. And the reports have been pretty strong from all areas, but I've heard some particularly good reports from over here. Some bigger trout were caught this week, and we can find some reds. We just have to put together five trout and two reds apiece, and see what happens. But we got our baits last night. We got all rigged up, and everybody's out here. I think we have 130 participants, so should be a good one.
Tell us about the concept on the Minimalist Challenge. They call it Minimalist for a couple of reasons. You get a limited amount of baits, and everybody fishes with the same ones. What are those baits?
So we have five different plastics of assortment of sizes. We got like long kind of Texas style plastics. We don't have any paddle tails. I think they threw a little curveball to us this year. We have a kind of a crawfish looking bait. We have a creature bait, and we have a couple of like fluke type baits and a curly tail. We have two jig heads, a couple of weedless hooked setups, and then we have a rip bait or like a little slash bait, which is pretty good for trout. I think it's kind of small, so it might be depending on what kind of rod you set it up with and with the wind to cast with it. But those are the baits we're fishing with today. So it's going to be a challenge with this dirty water, and if you can find some clean pockets of water and see what happens. But you can tune in on the leaderboard there on the app, on the Tourney X app, and follow along at home.
Brendan, what are you expecting it's going to take to win, catching those five trout and two reds?
I think you're definitely going to have max out your reds at the 26 and three-quarter inch length, and then put together a solid stringer of trout with a couple of kicker trout in the 20-inch range. So I'm imagining it's going to be two maxed out reds, a couple of 20 inch trout, and then a handful of decent trout to go with those two 20s. So if you find yourself in that kind of situation, I think you have a really good shot at taking home the money today.
Yeah, two 20 inch trout. That's somebody got their work cut out for them today, that's for sure. Going to be a lot of fun, though.
Oh, yeah. So people have been catching, so we'll look forward to seeing what it brings. I'm always surprised that, you know, pleasantly surprised at what this, you know, limited amount of tackle brings. That's part of the fun of it, to just prove, you know, that if you just really focus down and use what you have, you can really catch some nice fish, no matter, you know, bringing the whole kitchen sink and all the lures in the world, you know, it doesn't really matter sometimes.
And, Brendan, if someone wants to follow it, give us that app again.
It's the Tourney X app. You can download it on your smartphone and just search for Minimalist Challenge 12, and you can follow along as people upload and their scores are put in, and their aggregate length is totaled throughout the day.
And I'm sure bckfc.org will have the final results too.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Brendan, best of luck to you. Hope you take home some prizes today, and thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters, down there at the Minimalist Challenge 12. All right. We come back after this. Yeah, it's bad boy time. Got some duck hunters for you to talk about. Well, I guess you'd call them duck outlaws. Anyway, back with their story right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Oh, we want to congratulate Brooklyn, who is a Dixie Ranch Hunting Club and Lacombe member. Her grandpa told us that she got her first wild hog, 119 pounds. So proud of her. She's a future hunter. I believe she's arrived. All right, here's one that says, Mad Trucker checking in. Oh, cure for my laryngitis. Ground cinnamon and honey. I'm going to try that when I get off. Sounds good. Tastes good. Someone missed Robbie Campo's report. How low has the water been? Use cold ease and hot chocolate for laryngitis. Water's up okay. Robbie reported the water. Not only was it up, it warmed up a little bit. You should be okay. You always got to be careful wintertime, but you should be all right. Here's one. Take a teaspoon of salt, pulverize 2 aspirin, 2 inches of warm water, gargle every 2 hours. Works wonders. That's from Earl. Here's one suggesting apple cider vinegar gargle. Guaranteed relief. And Toby's checking in. He says, yeah, that's just what I wanted to hear before I head off into the swamp. Thanks a lot. He's talking about the purported Sasquatch cries that we heard recorded by a lady up in Brookhaven, Mississippi. Here's another one. Says, yep, definitely a Sasquatch. Another one says, sounds like a crawfish burner. That's wishful thinking. And here's one, how about a bear with a question mark? I thought about that, but not quite bears. I mean, maybe a older big grizzly with that low grunt, but our bears, it's not quite the sound that they make. Here's a question. Did the fishing trip cause the voice? It happens to me sometimes when shrimping with friends. Hope it gets sooner. Gets better soon. I don't know. I'm always out in the outdoors in damp weather. Who knows what causes it, but I can't blame it on one specific thing. Here's one. Where can I listen to that Bigfoot recording? It's on the net somewhere. Yeah, it'll be on our replays. You can go to my website and find the icon to take you back to previous shows. Should be up around Monday or Tuesday. Let's see. We've got another one. Say it's a bear. And here's one. Says, I turned on the radio and I heard Mike say I tried something different. So I think he's talking bait, and he says, jalapeno cheese smoked sausage. My first thought is, what the heck is that going to attract? Pays to let people finish talking. Well, it pays to not miss part of the show, because if you'd have tuned in a few seconds earlier, you would have heard him say, I picked up my sausage from Double D, where I brought my venison. So you missed out. You can't miss anything on the show. It leaves you in the dark. But you're right, jalapeno cheese, smoked sausage, might catch some catfish, but that's about it. Here's someone sitting in their box blind in Lumberton, Mississippi, hoping for some luck when the sun rises. It's Bart. He says it's a great morning. Yeah, not a bad morning to be sitting there, a little light drizzle and some wind blowing. Rut may still be on in that area, too. Someone found beautiful specks close to the launch in Lafitte Thursday. But this weekend, the oldest granddaughter's doing gymnastics. And Justin the Duck Guy is headed for work, hoping I feel better. I hope so, too. All right, right after we pause, quick 10 seconds for our station identification. I'll be back with this week's Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Got a couple of them to tell you about. We'll do it right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Senior Agent Lucas Hidalgo and Senior Agent Adam Teben received a tip about illegal hunting activity around Bayou Tortu near St. Martinville. The agent set up surveillance on the area and documented that this area was baited with red milo and corn. Well, exactly 2 weeks ago today, as you were listening to this show, the agents were hearing gunshots coming from that baited area. They observed two men leaving that area in possession of shotguns. After making contact with John Paul F. LeBlanc and Seth E. Schwest, they found they did not possess basic hunting licenses, state duck licenses, or federal duck stamps. LeBlanc admitted to placing the bait. Agents also found Schwest in possession of toxic shot. If convicted of the alleged migratory game bird violations, facing federal as well as state fines and possible but not probable jail time, are 32-year-old Seth E. Schwest of Parks, Louisiana, and 23-year-old John Paul F. LeBlanc of St. Martinville, our bad boys of the outdoors. Got another text in with another laryngitis cure. Thank all of you for sending this in. This one says, go sit in the woods. I'm going to take you up on that. I think that may help a whole lot. All right, coming back after this, we are going to announce the selection of our Cajun Fishing Adventures Harem Shooting Team that will represent us at the Gunning for a Cure shoot coming up in St. Bernard, I'm sorry, Plaquemines Parish. That's going to be February 27th with the coach, Ryan Lambert. He's back with us right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And Ryan Lambert is our plastic man. And Ryan, what are you and the boys doing today? Duck hunting, fishing, or both?
We got duck hunt today, and I think we'll call it quits after this. Got a -7 tomorrow, so there won't be any water. We're not going to go out till 9 o'clock today because it's a -0.5. So it's an early negative, so it'll be coming in. We'll leave the lodge about 9 and get out there and set up about 10 and hunt till 4 and kill our birds and come on back, call it a wrap.
Gotcha. Got a full moon coming up this Thursday. Now, for people that will still be duck hunting, could that mean a little bit of shot in the arm for arrival of new birds? And how do you treat fishing days on those full moon?
Well, you know, the fish will bite start at 11 o'clock, you know, on a full moon, because they're going to feed all night, especially if there's no clouds. And the same thing with ducks. The ducks will come in at night with the tide if you're in the South Louisiana. And I guess it'll be closed under Highway 90. So it's not going to affect that as much. But the birds will feed all night, so they're not going to get out and be active until 11. So, you know, if you start your day late and hunt the evenings, you'll be a lot better off on the full moon. And that goes for everything, deer hunting, squirrel hunting, fishing. It's all the same, you know. While we're sitting in our living room, they still got that life on the outdoors. So they're doing what they do. And on a full moon, that's how they do it. They feed all night.
You guys get a chance to do any trout fishing this week with this little warm-up that we had?
No, we did not. You know, everybody, we were so busy duck hunting and dealing with things that we didn't. I wanted to so bad because we had a high tide like 4 o'clock in the evening, and I know I could have went out there and put a hammer on them, but I just didn't get to do it. It's one of those weeks.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
But when it warms up a little bit and the tide starts coming in, that warmer Gulf water starts coming in, and our salinity is pretty good right now too, so it could really be good. I think I'm going to work on the golf course this week, and next week I'm going to, with the new tide, I'm going to come back and I'm going to start hitting those trout pretty good, and I'm going to get in the boat with the fly rod too. So there's a lot I want to do, and just I'll have time, because it's been a busy duck season. You know, I'm really pleased with the duck season. Now, from the last full moon and these last negative tides, it really got tough on us. You know, if you don't have any water for days on end, you know, they're just not coming in. They're going to stay offshore and they're going to stay there. But that night they come in and they feed, and, you know, it's a tough deal like that. So that's why, thank goodness, next year they're gonna close it on one of the negative tides that will be closed. And the only thing I don't understand is why they got the people in Shreveport going to be closed for that negative tide. So,
I think that's, you know, just to achieve consistency. They don't hunt the tides, I don't think, up in Shreveport.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, it'll help us out a lot. And it's going to go a little bit later next year, which is going to make me tireder. But because I can't stop, even on the weeks off, I'm going to Mexico, I'm going somewhere. So now it's just going to make me hunt an extra week. But that's okay. I still can hang.
Yeah. Well, listen, the Gunning for a Cure, we have the Cajun Fishing Adventures Harem Shooting Team. I'm going to announce the participants, and people get a chance to come out and meet them, take pictures with them, and you will be the coach. That's set for February 27th at Stella Plantation, and they can find information at gunningforacure.org. There's a shooting sporting clays competition, raffles, auction. They got some delicious food out there, and it's all for a very good cause. It's Dr. Oliver Sorter's Prostate Cancer Research Fund, which is at the Tulane Cancer Center. Now, here are the participants, Ryan. We got Ms. Laney Wick of, you know, she owns Elsie. She's an experienced bird hunter. Ms. Yay. Janice Lamont, who has become a pheasant killer. Sarah Giles, who's as good with a fishing rod, fly rod, as she is with a shotgun. And Miss Ashley Marshall will be joining us. So those are our four regular team members. We have Captain Martha Spencer as a standby because she's got a charter fishing trip scheduled that day. But if the weather, you know, peters out and for any reason one of the others can't make it, she'll step in and fill out. So what do you think about our team, Coach?
Perfect. I mean, they all avid hunters, and they love what they're doing, and I think we'll do just fine. We just, you know, it's all about the feed and getting over that gun and following through. I mean, once you get that done, you keep your head down on the stock, and we're going to hit them. So, you know, we'll coach them up and get them a few practice shots, maybe bring them over here with the skeet thrower before that, and we'll be ready. You know, yes, other people indeed. Better watch these girls. They'll sneak up on you.
Yes, they will. It's going to be a lot of fun. Right. Again, that's February 27th, and again, looking forward to getting with you over there, and we're going to have some fun because, boy, it's a real party they put on over there, and Stella's a beautiful backdrop for it, too. Great place to have it.
Oh, yeah. Sarah had a 42-inch red on the fly this week. Boy, she's something. That girl is something else.
She broke her fly rod, she said.
Yeah, he got under the trolling motor on another one, big one she had on. I said, oh, that's your guide's fault. He didn't pull your trolling motor
up. I thought she broke it on the fish. Now the story
but
comes
it,
out.
The fish got under the boat and got on the trolling motor and broke it. Yeah, it broke it on the fish. She had a fish on, so. But
it's hard to turn a fish like that size head with a fly rod. Yeah, you got to get that motor out of the water for sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Ryan, thanks so much, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Well, we'll see you this week, I hope.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
There he goes, the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert. CajunFishingAdventures.com. Go there and you'll see everything he's got to talk about. All right, coming back after this, if you like to fish the CCA Star for tagged redfish, you're going to love to fish for some tagged bass in the Bash Cash Bash. P.J. Vincent, the director, joins us and gives us the rundown. Coming back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, in this year's BassCashBash.com event, there are over $2 million worth of tagged bass for this year. And joining us to talk about how you can cash in on it is P.D. Vincent, the director of Bash Cash Bash. P.D., thanks for coming on, and my voice is about to go, so if you could take it over and just tell us when, where, and how.
So here in the Delta area, the Bass Cash Bash will be kicking off in about 1 week. So it'll kick off February the 1st, and it'll run all the way through May 31st. We have 200 cash tags. Each one of those tags are $1,000 a piece. Plus, we've got bonus money available. You can win an additional $500 if you do the bonus T-shirt when you register for Bass Cash Bash. So that's $300,000 worth of prizes. And then we also have a boat tag. That boat tag, if you're registered for Bass Cash Bash and you land that boat tag down here in the Delta, you're going to win a brand-new loaded-out Phoenix 819 with two Hummingbird Helix 9s, two Talon shallow water anchors, a Minn Kota trolling motor, Minn Kota charging system, 200-horsepower Merc on the back of it. Man, it is loaded out and ready to go. You know, we're going to be tagging fish in the Delta areas of Atchafalaya Basin, Lake Verrett, Bayou Black, Lake Des Almonds, Salvador, Catawachi, Lafitte, Lake Maurepaw, Delacroix, Bayou Bienvenue, all the way up to Rigolet and Henderson to Faux Paw, to Faux Point. So get signed up. Don't be that guy that catches one of these tagged fish and you're not registered, because you're going to miss out.
It happens every year, doesn't it? Somebody catches one, and unfortunately, they're not registered.
Hey, Don, we've had just in the last 3 years, we've had three anglers catch truck tags not registered. We've had three anglers catch boat tags not registered. You know, anglers miss out on boats and trucks and cash every single year. Hundreds of thousands of dollars goes unclaimed because they didn't pay $50 to participate, you know.
$50. And, now, in addition to Louisiana Delta, if folks are fishing some other popular lakes, you've also got some things going on in Texas and Alabama for our Alabama listeners, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely. We have the Bass Cash Bash kicked off on Sam Rayburn. We've got Toledo Bend, Lake Fork, Caddo Lake up near Shreveport. Then over towards the Alabama area, we've got Lake Gunnersville, Lake Eufaula, and then this year we've added the Coosa River chain, which includes Lay Lake, Jordan Lake, and Mitchell. So lots of opportunities for people to win. Like you said earlier, it's over $2 million in cash and prizes available. You know, only $50 to get you started, get you participating in the event. You don't want to be that guy that catches that boat tag and misses out on a $65,000 Phoenix just because you didn't sign up.
We're talking with P.D. Vincent, who is the director for BassCashBash.com. And I just got a text in. If someone pays the $50 entry fee, does that entitle them to fish any and all of those lakes, or there's a separate fee for each area?
So each area has what we do have a $100 entry fee gets you every lake and includes the bonuses.
So you can do it either way, individual or get them all in one.
Yes, sir. $50 gets you one lake. $70 gets you a single lake with the bonus entry and T-shirt. And then $100 gets you all the lakes included with the bonus T-shirt.
Petey, tell me, what is the basic success rate? About how many of those tags are retrieved, both by registered and unregistered? And, of course, you don't know in some cases, but for the most part, what is the percentage of that fish that come in or the number of them?
For the most part, we have a return rate of about 35% of the tags that we release in an area are recalled. And the biologist explained it to me like this. He said, y'all tag the fish that like to eat all the time. We tag the 14-inch fish. We don't go out and look for 8-10 pound fish, you know, so they don't ever bite and don't ever get recalled. We want people to win. We want people to catch these fish. If you're not catching tags, if people aren't catching the tags, then you're not going to sign up next year because you're not having fun.
Exactly. PD, give us that website again where people can sign up, or maybe a phone number if they got questions, and also if they want to keep up with it on a week-to-week basis.
Of course, you can always follow us on our Facebook page and Instagram. BassCashBash.com is the website where you can sign up. You can get registered, do whatever you need to do, or you can give us a call at 337-353-3381. And we'll answer any questions that you have.
And also on our website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com and BayouWildTV.com, we've got links to the site where you can get all the information you need. PD, sounds like a great event coming up, and looking forward to talking to you as we get down the road and announcing some of these winners.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you for having us on this morning.
Thank you for being there. We appreciate it. All right, there he goes, P.D. Vincent, BassCashBash.com. That's going to wrap it up for me. Going to rest the old throat. I'll see you again back here next week, 5 to 7 a.m., for another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.